In the last session, we saw how Job reminisced over the past days when he enjoyed the God-given blessings. He explained what an honorable position he was in, missed those days, and lamented over the agony of the present. But I emphasize that even if we find our reality difficult and tough, we are never to say, I was happier not believing in God in the past. As for the Israelites during the Exodus, even though they had experienced the joy of salvation and great power, whenever they encountered a trouble, they resented Moses and God. They even missed the days when they were harshly treated in Egypt and confessed that those days were good. They complained, saying in chapter 16, verse 3, Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, "With that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the posts, pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full." Even though they had ate a lot of food, they lived as slaves. Even though they ate meat, so what is better, living as a slave or living as a free man will be much better. And that's what they wanted, freedom. But because the situation wasn't to their benefit, because they began to complain and resent Moses, we have to check. We also do that. Ultimately, all those who complain like this failed to enter the land of Canaan flowing with milk and honey and died in the wilderness. The Exodus spiritually means that we who are living as slaves to the enemy devil in the world, which is like Egypt, became God's children by accepting Jesus Christ. And the Israelites' journey towards Canaan, which was flowing with milk and honey, can be compared to Christians heading towards heaven. While living in the world, which is like Egypt, we were saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and have been on the journey towards heaven. While we are walking this blessed path, if we still had an attachment to the world and even missed our past, how foolish this would be. Walking with the Lord, we are getting closer and closer to heaven day after day. For this reason, we are to overflow with gratitude and joy each and every day. Today as well, Job reminisced over his proud past. Job talked about how good and righteous he was, but it wasn't the kind of goodness and righteousness God truly desires. May this message help you realize once again why God had no choice but to refine Job. I pray in the Lord's name that all of you achieve spiritual goodness and righteousness that God truly wants. Job said in chapter 29, verse 11, "For when the ear heard, it could be blessed, and when the eye saw, it gave witness of me." In the past, Job was greatly loved and admired by people, and he heard people blessing him. They constantly praised Job and passionately boasted of him. But now, Job was hearing criticism against him. As Job found himself in a situation completely opposite to his past, how grieved and heartbroken he must have been. Once a person who used to receive great love finds himself being slandered for some reason, he naturally feels severely distressed. We are not to point fingers at those who are hurt. Instead, we are to offer them comfort and advice and hope. If we see a person having committed sins and feeling bad about it before God and his brothers and sisters, how should we deal with them? Rather than rebuking and scolding him, we have to compliment him on his merits. Try to awaken him with the word and admonish him with love, thereby leading him to perfect repentance. That doesn't mean you have to lead him according to your own righteousness. Sometimes a person may have his trials prolonged in receiving trials, we have to be humble and realize ourselves quickly. But if the person who is going through trial doesn't realize, but while he is weary, if we try to give him, try to awaken him with the you may think you're giving another person a rebuke because you love him, and you may have on your excuses, but if you end up hurting him more, if we end up offending him more, it shouldn't happen. We have to wait for the proper time. When he gets the strength to get back up and pray, we have to give him advice and help him out. We need wisdom in doing that. We have to think whether we are we have to encourage him so that he wouldn't become disheartened but receive strength to get back on his feet. James chapter 5 verses 19 and 20 tell us, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from the death and will cover a multitude of sins." You know that how important it is to share the gospel. When a person is on the way to death, if we try to save him, it takes great amount of efforts. But if we start committing sins again and go the way of death, we have to turn him away from sins, and by guiding him that way, we can build up rewards. When we find someone having turned away from the truth, if we help him return to the truth, we can save him from death and cover his multitude of sins. So we are to put such love into practice. In the following verse, Job explained why people earnestly complained, complimented, and praised him. Chapter 29, verses 12 and 13 read, "Because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the orphan who had no helper. The blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made a widow's heart sing for joy." Because Job possessed a good heart, he took joy in helping the needy and giving away things. He positively provided for the poor and orphans and helped them out. Even the one ready to perish blessed Job because he expected that Job would help him out in case he perished. Also, the widow sang for joy for Job, because Job filled their deficiencies, resolved their troubles, and became their light. But we have to know that Job didn't provide spiritual help to orphans, widows, and poor people, but he gave them physical aids. The praises from people who were helped by Job were not truthful as well. When people receive physical help, they do give thanks for it, but as the help stops coming later on, they point fingers at the one who previously helped them, ignored them, or even spit on them. You shouldn't be one of those people who love someone only when he is beneficial to us, but betray him when we can no longer benefit from him. On the part of the one who's done charitable and good deeds, he has to forget about them because he's provided help out of his good conscience. He shouldn't criticize others like Job. "When I was in a lofty position and helped them, they respected me. But now they are despising me." Brothers and sisters, many people do good following their conscience. But God's children have to practice good, following the word of God. What's the difference? Let me talk about the giving charitable deeds. there are charity that God is pleased with, and there is also charity that people do on their in their own way. Among you are, let's say among you is a person who lives in poverty, and you think that you want to help him, but if you don't live by the word, if you even drink and spend a lot of money on it, and he wastes his money on drinking, if we help him, he would continue to drink and drink even more. We may feel we would be heartbroken for him and pray for him, but when we but spiritually we realize that it will be better not to help him, because if we help him, there is no way. So when he's in more trouble and when he gets visited by pastors, he will realize his fault and resolve to live a new life. Then he would get respected and loved by people. But even if when we help him when he is in trouble, he wouldn't. So because the worldly people don't know the truth, they don't know what to help the. So they do it. They help others out of their own consciousness. Some people there are beggars on the street who because they beg because they don't want to work. This is the you have to know what the charity is in God's eyes. Job, when we see a poor person, we shouldn't just express our heart through our words. We have to give him spiritually and physically. But Job did good following his own conscience, but even so, there is this kind of fleshly goodness. So we have to check whether our faithfulness and goodness can be acknowledged by God. Even when God's children give financial help to the poor, this is not necessarily called a deed of love and goodness, because it is merely a basic duty as Christians and a natural duty of men. He is not worthy to be praised, but he just did a good, and it is his natural duty. Then, what is true goodness? It is to keep the word of God in the giving charity to people. The more important things is to follow the truth. Spiritual love and true goodness is loving our enemies and forgiving and helping unforgivable ones. We have to achieve goodness and help out. Let's say you haven't achieved goodness in heart, but only show outward deeds, then this is not perfect. Even though we give our everything to charity and wholly devote ourselves, if we harbor ill feelings and resentment because someone gossips about us, we cannot be deemed good by God. Let's say a person who used to be helped by us doesn't appreciate our support after some time and treats us disrespectfully. If we feel upset and resentful, that means we didn't help him in true goodness. Also, while we passionately work for God, help the needy, and commit ourselves to doing good, we may harbor ill feelings and argue when dealing with people who are not in tune with our thoughts. Then we're committing a lot of evil at the same time. Thus, we cannot be called good. Apostle Paul confessed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." Even if we help the needy and sacrifice and devote ourselves, as long as we have evil and untruth in our heart, we end up displaying evil and having a change of heart. People evaluate others based on their words and deeds. They only think about their merits. But God has, but God looks at their heart and wants them to demonstrate unfailing truthfulness. This is the goodness that God acknowledges. Let me give you another example. Let's say a person whom you've trusted and loved dishonors God by blundering or sinning. What should we do? Instead of talking behind his back and slandering him, we are to advise him with love and fast and pray for him. Once he's repented and turned back, you are to forgive him and love him all the more before. All the more than before. But if you judge them with a condemning and arrogant heart instead of serving him, God cannot but find you evil. Some people, however, don't realize their evil. Whether they express their frustration saying, "I've worked faithfully and sown diligently in serving God, but how come God doesn't answer me? How deplorable this is." Some people prepare the divine healing meeting well and they show faithfulness, but they don't receive an answer. You know, even while he's created a wall of sin, he doesn't admit it. That's why he cannot. Through the case of Job, we are to find out what we are to repent of. Why God is not answering us, we have to clearly find out the reason, and we have to prepare our vessel well. In the following verse, Job remarked what a righteous life he led. We read in chapter 29, verse 44, "I put on righteousness, and it clotheth me. My justice was like a robe and a turban." Man putting on clothes is only natural and perfectly normal. Job explained how he led a righteous life in all affairs of his life to the point where he put on righteousness as a piece of clothing. In saying that he cherished righteousness as his own offering, as his own clothing, Job regrettably explained how perfectly he acted in righteousness. Job also remarked that his justice was like a robe and a turban. What does this mean? Here, a robe refers to the clothing people put on in a former setting. When they visited or met an important person, they put it on to show courtesy. It's not casual clothes. It is kind of clothes that are worn in courtesy. Therefore, Job kept such moral duties as children respecting their parents, siblings loving each other, and neighbors sharing with one another. Also, a turban in this verse represents the goal or creed that people hold on to. Namely, Job meant to say that he'd always acted having the justice as his creed and goal. Some people aim to make a lot of money, even by harming others. His life goal is the gaining riches, but Job wanted to become a righteous person before God. It was his creed and it was his goal. So that's why he said that he was But now, as Job found himself in a situation where he was criticized and even cursed by all people, he regrettably reminisced over his past days. He was like, even though I've led a faithful and honest life, following righteousness and justice, as all things have collapsed, I have nothing remaining. Brothers and sisters, we have to be aware that no matter how plausible man's righteousness seems, it has nothing to do with God and is ultimately destroyed. So to speak, no matter how hard one keeps in his own righteousness and piles up righteous deeds in his sight, the righteousness that has strayed from the... As we see politicians, all of them think they are right, insist on their being right. As they do so, they try to reveal others' faults, and they exaggerated their faults, and they criticize others like that. But out in the world, this is called righteousness. We have to know that God's righteousness and the righteousness of the world differ. So we have to pray. We have to offer a good prayer. For example, you are running a shop, and your next door neighbor also has the same business. And would you pray like that? Please let his business, let our business prosper, but not his. The shepherd taught us that this is not good, and God wouldn't answer. So even when we attend church, we have to. But unless we realize the love and. This was what Job was like, and we have to complain ourselves against Job. But whatever we do according to our faith turns into blessings on this earth and rewards in heaven. So it is truly invaluable goodness and righteousness. For this reason, God urges us to do what is right in His sight in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. God also tells us in detail how the life of the righteousness differ from that of the wicked in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 6. God also tells us in detail how the life of the righteous differ from that of the wicked. The Bible says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." But in Psalm chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, God said of the wicked as follows, "The wicked are not so. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked still perish." Only when we have departed from evil and walk in goodness and truth, we become truly righteous. Only when God, who is the truth, declares something righteous based on His Word, it is truly righteous. Therefore, I pray that all of you delight in the Word of God, meditate on it day and night, and become righteous ones, not in your own eyes, but in God's. Job went on to claim what a righteous life he led. Chapter 29, verse 6 says, "I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I invested a case which I did not know."
Yeah.
How frustrated and miserable the blind would feel about themselves, not being able to see what's in front of them. Job becoming eyes to such people signifies that he helped them out so they could live without misery. Also, people who limp with one of their legs having been injured would have much discomfort in their everyday life and be subject to many contempts and mistreatments. Because of that, so what hurt they must feel. Even for these people, Job provided help and comfort. Moreover, he looked for the poor, giving them food and clothing like a father caring for his children. In the case, in the verse, the case which he did not know refers to the case of a stranger who had nothing to do with Job. Job is saying that even when a stranger had a problem, he took care of it as if the problem was his own. That indicates how many righteous deeds Job had piled up. How many people out there will be living so? Brothers and sisters, as you listen to this message and compare yourself to Job, I ask you to examine how much goodness and righteousness we've attained. Job committed himself to helping the needy. But what about you? Job, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10, "You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in your work and in your undertakings." And Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, "Sell your possessions and give it to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven." The Bible tells us how delighted God is with our charitable deeds. What about you? The Bible has many verses about charity. Even one of the verses even say that, you know, helping the needy is like lending to God. As for Job, he committed himself to helping the needy, and he boasted of it. And as he looked back on his past, he reminisced over it. And yes, he did a good job. Even though it was not perfect, he was worthy of praise. But what about you? Job helped out even those who had nothing to do with him. But how sincere are you in looking after the people around you, not just your family or closest friends? Are you sacrificing yourself for your co-workers and neighbors and even trying to help out a passerby? I'm not talking about you have to look around on the street and help him out. Anyway, there are times... Let's give you this example as well. Let's say someone who has nothing to do with you, but you use a lot of restaurants, and there are waiters who serve you food. How do you serve them? Or do you mistreat them, or do you harshly... There are people in restaurants, they shout at the waiters, and then whenever they have complaints, they just show it. This is discourteous, right? But they don't feel guilty. They don't feel so because they pay money. They think that it's okay to act like that. But as a man of truth, we shouldn't treat the waiters that way. This is far from serving. But Job, he said that he helped out a person who had nothing to do with him. We have to think about this. And we are to see whether how good... Even when you suffer some discomfort, you have to bear it. Whether we are looking after others, if we do, we will never act rudely before others. We will cherish and sacrifice ourselves for the Bible also talks about that we have to. But how do people act? They are focused on what they have to eat, where, and they are focused on their children, but they don't look after their elderly parents. God cannot bless them. People say that some people treat others well, but not their family members. Some people treat others, but not their families. This is not goodness. We have to be. Despite living in the era before the Holy Spirit came, Job led such a virtuous life of serving others. So what kind of life should we be living as people who've experienced Jesus Christ's love on the cross and the grace of salvation and are receiving the Holy Spirit's guidance? Even as Job wasn't well aware of the truth, he led a righteous life. So, always listening to and learning the precious word of the truth, we have to be way better than Job's righteousness. Although Job led such a righteous life, as his life was devastated, he was ridiculed and despised by the people who used to love him. How evil and crafty man's heart is, as they instantly change their heart in pursuit of their benefits. For this reason, God has no choice but to refine us until we achieve a pure and truthful heart that is unchanging and without deceit, and a sincere heart that is unwavering. As God's children, we have to completely root out a changing heart that pursues our benefits and a crafty heart with which we go back and forth in making decisions. People who truly loved Jesus didn't leave him even as he was in suffering. Even as they could suffer some kind of harm, they were never afraid, staying by his side to the end. They cried in lamentation. The same went for the early church members and the fathers of faith like Deacon Stephen and Apostle Paul. Even as they were beaten with rods, imprisoned, and hung on the cross upside down, even as they became prey to lions and got beheaded, they neither denied the Lord nor hesitated at all to share the gospel. But what about today? We see some people forsaking God's grace even after being healed of serious illnesses by God's power. They say, if I'm healed, I'll be faithful until death. But with the passing of time, they change. Also, as they lose hope for heaven, they find it strenuous to cast up sins and evil. So they end up looking back to the world. Jesus saved us who are destined for hell due to our sins through his love on the cross. Despite having received such great love, some forsake their faith because they find their environment or trials tough and difficult. How regrettable this is. I hope that all of you will love God first with unfailing faith and obey according to the Word, thereby repaying His great love and grace as His children. This is how you become righteous men that God acknowledges. Job went on to reminisce over the past where he led a righteous life. He said in chapter 29, verse 17, I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his mouth. Here, the jaws of the wicked signifies mighty strength. Without its strong jaws, the lion loses its strength and fierceness. Not being able to hunt its prey any longer, it ends up dying. The same way, Job claimed that he destroyed a mighty force of the righteous, stopped them from doing unrighteous acts, and thereby helped out the weak. A good example from the Bible is Solomon's judgment. In 1 Kings chapter 3, two women argued against each other over who the mother was. They gave birth to a baby around the same time, but one of the women had her baby killed by a mistake, so they were living in one house. So one of their sons were mistakenly killed, and overnight the woman, she switched her baby with the others. What an evil act that is. As the morning dawned, the other woman found a dead baby lying by her side and panicked. And her dead baby was not hers. Even though they were newborn, they looked different. The mother noticed that it wasn't her baby. The baby that was alive was her baby. And the two women were fighting over the ownership, fighting over whose baby that was. Fighting over the baby, they finally asked Solomon for judgment. Then Solomon ordered that the baby be cut in two halves and each half be given to the women. Solomon appealed to their motherhood to find out who the real mother was. There was no way the true mother would have let her baby be killed. Right, according to Solomon's speculation, the real mother pleaded, "Just let her have the baby, so never kill him, please." On the contrary, the fake mother agreed that the baby would be cut in half. Truth and falsehood were revealed instantly. Job mentioned that he'd also saved a weak from the unrighteous and devotedly helped them out. Because he'd always helped those who lived in poverty and troubles, he must have been of help to many people. Job possessed power, wealth, and fame. And even though one is in such a position, unless he has love and goodness, he can't sacrifice for his neighbors. Rather, he may abuse his power. Oftentimes, we see people with wealth showing more greed. But unlike these people, Job had indeed led a life worthy of people's love and respect. Here, we can confirm this once again. Job said in chapter 29, verse 18, "Then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand." Dying in his nest spiritually means being free of blame or accusation at the time of death, which means dying without sins, but dying without sin and multiplying his days as the sand don't seem to be coherent with each other. To die in my nest means to come to an end in following goodness and doing good deeds. The nest means something comfortable or a place or a situation of comfort. Since Job did many good deeds in his good old days, he blessed himself, saying that his days will be as many as the sand. Job was a person who could confidently speak of his future, but as he was destroyed in an instant, how grieved he must have been. Brothers and sisters, we humans cannot know about our tomorrow. That's why Proverbs chapter 27 verse 1 tells us, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Since Job built his house not on the rock, but on the sand, namely because he lived according to his own thoughts and righteousness, not the word of God, he was destroyed. Even though he was a righteous man acknowledged by others as well as himself, he completely lost his righteousness in the face of unbearable trials and displayed great evil. As we can see, no matter how beautiful one's physical goodness and righteousness look, they are torn down once he faces his limits. But if we build our house on the rock, according to the word, it is not destroyed today and even tomorrow. Goodness and righteousness set up in the truth don't get torn down no matter the trials and tribulations. Rather, they shine brilliantly. Therefore, God was refining Job to grant him the rock that would never get destroyed. God wanted him to attain spiritual goodness and righteousness by which he could pray. Father God, once we have a change of heart, Father God doesn't call it truthful. But some people say, I used to do this, I used to do that, but why I'm in trouble? Saying that, they cannot resolve their problems. If you think you were sincere in the past, but it was not perfect. Peter, he said that he would never betray, deny Jesus. He would die with Jesus. When he said that, he meant what he said. But Father God knew that he would have a change of heart. And we know the result. So Peter, we think that Peter, it would have been better for Peter because that's why we need trials. And as we successfully pass our trials, we remove our evil and let me conclude a message. Brothers and sisters, even when Job hadn't received the Holy Spirit and known the truth well, he was truly righteous and good in terms of deeds. But as for us, not only have we received the Holy Spirit, but we've learned so many words of truth and are well aware of them. So, no wonder we should surpass Job in terms of goodness and righteousness. In the truth, righteousness means acting in honest and just ways, following the will of God who is righteous. As we find in Psalm chapter 11, verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness." To the upright will behold His face. God loves righteous ones, but we have to do what is good and righteous in the Word of God or in His sight, not from our own perspectives. There are many things that seem to be right in men's eyes, but are actually not in God's sight. If we have our self-righteousness, we are inclined to do what is right in our sight rather than God's will. But once we shatter our self-righteousness and do what is right in His eyes, we can live according to His will and in all affairs and bring forth abundant fruits. While trying to shatter his own righteousness and achieve perfection, Apostle Paul confessed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, "I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." Job was actually boasting of his good deeds in the past. He explained how righteous he was. But Apostle Paul, what about Apostle Paul? He boasted of dying daily. We also have to do the same. By putting himself to death day after day, he changed into a perfect man of truth and shared the gospel with numerous people and gained the glory of shining like the sun in heaven. I pray in the we have to resemble him. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you will throw away your righteousness and attain spiritual goodness and righteousness that endures forever in the truth, thereby bringing joy to Father God.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.